We are covered by the blood. Amen. We have to remember that. You know, people forget. Instead, you know, that has to be in our mind. We are covered by Jesus' blood. And this is much more effective than the blood of goats or, you know, the lamb that was used for the when they were in Egypt. You know, we are privileged. Hallelujah. So, and we have, besides that, we also have Psalm 91 that we are going to read. I'm going to read now, actually, probably. Maybe we should read it together. Amen. Okay, so I say first and then you follow after. Okay, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High,
he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High,
shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
I will say of the Lord,
he is my refuge and my fortress. Hallelujah. And in my God, in him I'll trust. I lost the sign. Surely he shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover me with his feathers, and under his wings I shall take refuge. His truth shall be my shield and my buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror of by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in the darkness, nor of destruction the light that wastes on noonday. 1,000 shall fall on my side, 10,000 are my right hand, but you shall not come near me. Hallelujah. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the word of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angel charge over you, to keep you on all your ways. In their hand they shall lift you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Because he has set his love upon me, I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Praise the Lord. He's our salvation. Amen. And we can trust him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come together, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is with us, Lord. Thank you that you said you never leave us, nor forsake us. Thank you, Lord, that as we come together, Lord, you are here to minister life to us and to minister, Lord, your spirit, Lord, the revelation and the understanding that we need. So we open ourselves up to you, Lord, that you may just minister to us, Lord, quickening, Lord, in our mind, in our hearts, and in our bodies, Lord, that we may be able, Lord, to appropriate and receive, hear your voice, Lord, and respond to the call that we have, Lord. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, for everything, Lord, and especially, Lord, for your word, Lord, that is up with us all the time, in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 I think that that what the topic we have been really covering is so important that I would say that to have a victorious Christian life, you need to meditate. If you don't meditate, you are not going to have victory. As simple as that. And many people do not understand how to do that. And you see that many people are stuck. Not be able to move on. Not to be able to break through. And the only reason, and they are trying to find reason, they are trying to find ways, they are going to do meetings. Meetings are not going to do it. You are going to go from one meeting to the other meeting, trying to reach out what you already have.
Amen.
That makes a difference. You see, you have to start from there, otherwise you are going to be defeated. There is not defeat in Jesus.
Amen.
No matter what your situation is today.
Amen.
But you had to start operating according to the word and not according to the world and flesh.
Amen.
You had to start moving from one level to another. And the only way for that transition to take place, the only way is through meditation, is through the word. See, the word has to work. And I thought, you know, maybe that we were winding up on this series, but I really, last few days, as I've been meditating on it and working on it, I came to the conclusion, no, there is more, that we had to go deeper into that. So the people understand the practical aspect of this and the actual impact that it's going to have in your life. See, you should not be stuck.
Amen.
Amen. Amen to
that. Jesus is not stuck.
Amen.
Jesus, you know, promised us, the word promises us, that we had to move from glory to glory, from faith to faith.
Amen. Amen.
If there is not that progression, something we are doing is not right.
Right.
And we had to realize that and stop trying to do things in the flesh. Try to depend on the world around us and reach out to God that is there just for you.
Amen.
Through His word. And start believing. So I'm going to, you know, kind of back up a bit. Because, you know, we start seeing the impact or the results of meditation already. You know, we saw that we are guaranteed, I repeat, guaranteed victory, guaranteed success. Read Psalm 1 and Joshua 1:8 and the followings. I mean, this is not promises that, you know, if you don't believe that you have success just doing that, then you are not believing the word. As simple as that. So just go, you know, don't need 2,000 scriptures or verses to remit. Just memorize those two parts of the Bible, and that should be enough to motivate and to know what to do.
Amen.
Go in the word. Meditate on it. Learn how to do that. And this is, you know, that's the heart that is completely lost, I think, today, most of the people. They try to study, they try to rationalize, they try to follow men's ideas, and they get nowhere because men's ideas don't have the power of the word.
Amen.
You know, I'm serious. You know, we should have victory.
Amen.
And if we don't have victory, it's because we are not doing that. Period. We may know all the scriptures. That's the problem. Lots of people know many scriptures. But it's up here, instead of being down here. You know, just the fact that you can quote a scripture doesn't mean anything.
Amen.
Actually, often the time, that's really the problem. Because we think that we know so much, when instead we don't have the experience. You see, the results of the word should be experience, not just knowledge. I mean, not just my knowledge, but, you know, the gnosko, actually experiential knowledge.
Amen, yes. Amen.
That is not logical.
Amen.
It's organic. It's really there inside us,
yes.
Operating beyond our imagination, maybe beyond, well, let's see that, you know, beyond our reasoning.
Yes.
We have to see the way our mind works, not according to what psychologists say, because they ignore completely one side of our mind, which is our heart. We have to understand that it's more than just subconscious. But so we are going to, I had to deal with that because I don't want people to walk defeated. We can walk in victory. Jesus won the victory. It is a victory he even won it for us so that we can experience it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
But you have to refuse to be defeated.
Amen.
And stop trying to do it the wrong way. Hallelujah. So, you know, one of the things that you can see is that we need to develop. We need to develop spiritual strength. We have to do signs here. Are you following me?
Yes.
See, we need to develop his spiritual strength. This is what God wants for us. But to develop physical strength, you have to do something. Hello?
Yes.
What do you do to develop physical strength?
Work out.
Well, if you don't eat, you can work out as much as you want. It's not going to get there. The only thing you're going to do is get skinnier and weaker. Hello?
Yes.
See, that's the thing we have to remember. To become, you know, Jesus said in himself, you cannot live of bread alone, but of every word that comes out of the mouth of God. So, you know, this is the spiritual equivalent, the spiritual parallel to the physical one. You had to eat to be able to get the ability to have the strength to do exercises. Now, when you eat, you have to do exercises because otherwise the only thing you become a block of fat and it's useless. That doesn't help you either. Okay, so you had to eat and exercise and use what you have been eating so that it's going to produce energy and it's going to keep your body fit.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
Well, spiritually, it's exactly the same thing. You need to eat the word, not just study the word. You see, study the word stays only here. Has to go inside your body and operate physically on your body. That means, you know, you had to assimilate it. When you assimilate food, it's not that you just taste it and leave it there. It has to go inside there, break it down, and you just then absorb the content of the food.
Amen.
Hello? The same thing has to happen when you take the word. It's not just a question of memorizing the scripture, knowing some scripture with your head. It has to be assimilated, has to be appropriated, and then you have to work it out. And that assimilation takes place over time, the same way as when we digest things. It's assimilated and becomes part of you. Hallelujah. So the scripture that we start today is really, you know, the basis. You know, man, Matthew 4:4, that's what Jesus said when he was tempted. See, that's the beginning of the victory when we need to overcome things. Are you hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
Do you want victory?
Yes.
See, that's the way you go and get it.
Amen.
You had to realize that. And you had to realize that you cannot do it.
Amen.
It's the word in you that is going to achieve it.
Amen.
The word in you that you had to connect with the word at a level that if you have no victory, you had to connect to the word at the level that you haven't connected yet. Or that you have got disconnected, or whatever it is, doesn't matter, isn't there. But it's there inside you if the word is in you.
Amen. Yes.
Ready to sprout and ready to start to work.
Yes. Amen.
Okay. So I'm going to read from Ephesians because, you know, those scriptures, we have been, that's the one, Ephesians chapter 1 has been the beginning of actually this series. I'm going to re-go back to that because I saw there, you know, and starting actually from verse chapter 3, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, And we are going to expand from that. Verse 14. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom all the family on heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you, so you can expect God to grant you this, according to the riches of his glory. This is according to his riches. To be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. So he's talking about here, are you receiving spiritual strength? But not just spiritual strength. You will be strengthened with might. Can you say strengthened with might?
Strengthened with might.
See, I mean, it's not just a bit. This is a great strength that you're going to get. This is the expectation that has to be starting to develop in you.
Yes, amen.
Okay. See, how do you think is it going to happen? See, nothing happened without a reason. That's scripture. Okay. It's going to happen when you do the right thing. See, it's not that God one day said, okay, you know, I see in David, I'm going to pour out some might on him. It doesn't going to happen like that. See, David has to put himself in a place in which God can do that.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
All right. So, we are going to get in that place. I mean, we have been talking about this. We are talking about exactly this. Okay. And now, what's going to happen? Number one, that Christ may dwell in your heart, not in your head. In your heart, through faith. And you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend. So you're going to comprehend, or actually to understand, to grasp, to receive. With all the saints, what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. See, it's not mental. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Can you say, filled with all the fullness of God?
Filled with all the fullness of God.
I mean, talking about might, filled with all the fullness of God. That's the expectation we should have. Who do you think you are? I'm filled with the whole fullness of God.
Amen.
Hello?
Yes.
I mean, if you are filled with the whole fullness of God, you're not going to be afraid of anything. Say, so, well, you know, I don't feel like there. Well, he said that's what you can expect. And if you are not there, there is something that you can do so that you are going to get that. He's not going to be just there sitting and doing nothing and listening to the pastor's preach. Hello? Are you following me?
Yes.
Okay, there is a part you play. Now, you know, sometime the pastor or somebody else can have the anointing pray on you, but you know, it doesn't stay there if you don't keep it.
Amen.
You want it there all the time, dwelling in you. Christ, you what they say, Christ may dwell in your heart. That means he's staying there. He's not just taking, you know, coming and visit and going, you know, the visitation of God. No, I don't believe in visitation. I believe in residence.
Amen.
I believe that God should stay there. So you see these visitations, you know, they go there, make a big fuss, and they go back to where they were before. What kind of visitation is that? When God really touches you, he changes you.
Amen. Yes.
When Moses met God, his face was different. You know, it was shining light. Why? Because he was, and his hair were white, and everything was changed inside him.
Amen.
When you really meet God, and it's not just a hula hula type of stuff that they go around doing, you know, you are changed.
Amen.
Forever.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I forgot where I was here. Oh, the fullness of God, yes. Okay. Praise the Lord. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask and think. Exceedingly abundantly. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. He's not just, maybe he's going to do it. No, he's able to do it exceedingly. Can you say exceedingly?
Exceedingly.
Abundantly.
Abundantly.
You know what that means?
A lot.
It looks like you don't. All right? Are you following what they say? You know, let me continue. Exceedingly abundant you, above all the, what you ask or think. So you see, just stop making limit on God.
Amen.
He is beyond what you can ask, beyond what you can think, beyond what you can even imagine today.
Amen.
And he's willing, and he wants to do that. According to what? According to the power that works in us. According to the power that works in us. In you.
Amen.
Okay? Now we have to really start coming in contact, coming into that reality. According to the power that works in me, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly.
Amen.
And you can sit down and not jump around. I mean, that really should get us going.
Amen.
All right?
Hallelujah.
And what's the result? To him be glory in the church. You see, that the result of that God is going to be glorified. Because of the changes that have taken place inside us. Because of the breakthroughs that we experience. See, whenever we got to that place, we are going to result is give glory to God.
Amen.
But you cannot do that in a passive, negative, hopeless attitude.
Amen.
All right. So, let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. That is where we started. See, this is what we should, and really, you know, what we should expect. How much strength? Strengthen with might. That's our expectation. Now, let's read from Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So you see, that is going to happen. You had to get revelation. You had to have wisdom. Now, if the Holy Spirit is working on you and you are open to him, you are going to have that experience. You are going to have revelation. You are going to have wisdom beyond your abilities.
Amen.
You start experiencing that. Maybe not everywhere, but in some areas that you need. Because God is going to be starting working in you and giving. That's really his plan. That's the only way you're going to grow. There is no other way. So you cannot grow by your own strengths and abilities. It's his ability, but you have to connect to his ability to be able to start manifesting it in you.
Amen.
Okay. Wisdom and knowledge, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Okay, stop right there. The eyes of your understanding. Do your understanding have eyes? I mean, let's be honest. Do you think that your understanding, well, understanding involves be able to see certain things, understand certain things. But really, if you go to the Greek word, you get a better idea of that word there, understanding, which is translated according to the English. Okay? Really, but it's not necessarily what, you know, he's talking about. The word they are used in Greek is dianoia, which actually means mind or imagination. See, when you imagine things, you see things. And so you'll be able to see things before you're going to be able to do anything. When you understand, you see it. Are you following me? So in a way you can say understanding, but there is a part of understanding that is a question of perceiving, receiving, be able to see certain things, the implications. You see, it's more than just a mental thing. It's a question of perceiving a reality. See, what happens when this spirit of wisdom and revelation comes to you? You are starting to see things in a different perspective. See, what God does is reframe your thinking. That is a modern language, but really is better representing what I'm trying to explain. You see, when you meditate on the word, you reframe your reality. You see things in a completely different perspective. And the reality becomes very different from the way you had it before. And first you can see it, and then it's going to be there. Reality comes together. So, you know, with the eyes of your understanding, with the eyes of your imagination is a part, ability to see things. See, your heart, that's why imagination is important too, as a word. Your heart doesn't see by words. Your heart see by images. So when you talk about a dog, it's not just an abstract thing. You can see some dog that you saw recently, maybe, or some god that you know, really had before or had now, and that's dog to you. If you see car, it's the car you have. But you see it. See, abstract things don't work in the heart. Only things that you see work in the heart, because the heart works by images. So that's why he says the eyes of your understanding, or the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your ability to see things like that, you have to be able to see it to get it. Are you still with me? Good. All right. That you may know. You see, when you see it, you know. At the heart level. What is the hope of his calling? And what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saint? And now it repeats itself here, what I said before. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power? See, that you may know the exceeding greatness of his power doesn't mean that you know that God is all powerful. Hello? He's talking about you experience the exceeding greatness of his power. Okay, that's the way you know it, in gnosko way and not in the mental way. See, you don't learn what is the great power that you know because somebody said God is all powerful. You know that God is more powerful because you experience his power. Amen. Are you still there? Yes. You see, this is why we had to know exceeding greatness of his power. Can you say that again? Exceeding greatness of his power. Amen. Hallelujah. Toward us who believe. Okay? So it's not something far away, is toward you if you are a believer. Amen. All right? According to the working of his mighty power, which he was in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one which is to come. So this is talking about the greatest power that you can ever think.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Far above all principalities and power and dominion, every name in his name. Hallelujah. Not only this age, but the one who has to come. That's what is prepared for you to experience. For us to experience. And he put all things under his feet. And, you know, that's the second thing. Everything is under him. and give him to be the head over the whole things to the church. Hallelujah. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So again, you know, the fullness of God is in us.
Amen.
Or can be in us when we start moving in that direction and understanding. So, see, it's not just a question of a mental understanding here. It's a question of completely reframe your reality. And you reframe your reality because you see things in a different way. Yeah. See, you know when that is working. You know when that is working. When you start seeing things that way. Look, that's this is the test of where you are. When you can see things that way, you know that the word worked in you. Until you don't see it, hasn't worked yet. You have something to do to make it work. And the thing to do is, what is it?
Meditation.
Praise the Lord. Somebody got it. All right? I mean, it's not that complicated. It shouldn't be complicated. You don't need a PhD to figure that out.
Yeah, amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See, when I was meditating on this, the Lord is showing me things about other scriptures. They generally, I was considering like between different topics. But with this idea, all these topics came together and become all the same thing. When that happens, you know you hit the right spot.
Amen.
See, but when the truth comes, always unites the word. Don't divide the words.
Amen.
Just bring it together. Because there is only one message. There's only one idea that we have to get. And it's to allow the power of God to develop inside us. So Romans 12, and we have a few more minutes, but I'm going to close in time. Because we're closing time today. Romans 12, verse 1 says, beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. You know, says what that has to do with what come after is because unless you submit your body, I mean, unless you're not, you know, unless you give up to your flesh, you're not going to be able to do that. Okay? Verse 2. And do not conform to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
Amen.
See, the renewing of the mind is exactly what we have been talking about. See, meditation is going to renew your mind, although it's not the only thing. This is the beginning. That's the way you move there. Okay. It's not just the question of getting information. It's a question that you get to the place in which you see things. See, when your mind is renewed, your reality around you is reframed. Everything is changed. And then you know what is the good and perfect will of God. Okay, so you see, that's what I was saying before. Unless you can start seeing things differently, the word is not working you. Unless when you see a situation, you still interpret the way you interpreted before. It didn't happen yet. It's there potentially, but it's not there yet. You haven't received it at the heart level. If you want transformation, it means you are not the same anymore.
Amen.
You are different. But if you are different, your reality is different. Your world is different. Your experiences are different. Your feelings are different. Your walk is different. This is what meditation produces in your mind. You know, it's not just knowing some scriptures. Just make a note to yourself. Meditation produces reframing of your reality. You see the same thing in a completely different way. If you don't see things in a completely different way, you are not renewed your mind. Amen?
Amen?
I don't know if I should start this. No, I shouldn't. That will take too long. And there are many more scriptures that I had to talk about. See, the thing is, let's go back here a moment here and try to put together the strings on the end here. Come for a landing. All right. So the idea, you see, what I'm getting to is the fact that meditation is the way that you're going to change your reality. And I would say not only that, but it's the only way that you're going to change your reality.
Amen.
It's the only way that you're going to be spiritually strong. It's the only way that you're only really going to be grow in the spirit. And that you're going to manifest the fullness of God inside you. I mean, that seems to me, you know, either crazy or really exciting. I choose for the second one. Amen? I mean, the world will say that you're really crazy. But let them believe what they want because they cannot do the same thing.
Amen.
So don't give up. Don't say, well, you know, it doesn't work for me because this is a promise. What God promises, a yea and amen for those who believe, for those who are in Christ. So you can count. I mean, this is guarantee success. You know, what it says, you know, whatever you do, you know, in Psalm 1 says very clearly, whatever you do, you will succeed.
Amen.
You are not going to be defeated. If you are defeated, you are a Christian that isn't got there yet. And the way to get there is not by walking, running around, trying to get things from others. It's to get to the Word and allow the Word to change your inside.
Amen.
So that you are transformed and not conformed by this environment, by your experiences, by all the worldly things.
Amen.
Refuse to be conformed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you still there with me?
Yes.
I think we should have a confession here. You see, confession is a part of meditation. You see, there are some parts of meditation that are allowed and some parts of meditation that are silent. Lots of people can do sometimes the meditation that are allowed because they got others to do them with them. But when we come to do it silently, they are not very good because they don't have the experience to do it. So we are going to talk exactly about that kind of stuff.
Amen. Yes.
Okay. How to go about the different steps that we do in meditation, how we do go about getting results where or starting from where we begin to the end when we get the manifestation.
Yes. Hallelujah.
All right. Praise the Lord. Let's confess something here. See, when we confess, one of the things is we proclaim God's victory. We stand on God's victory. Okay. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
For the victory.
For the victory.
That you conquered for us.
You had it already.
But you give up.
To operate
like you are.
And you
give up to show us
what to do,
to have the same degree
of victory
in our lives as human beings, as we called you
to be
our leader,
our
one, the one to give us the way with this truth,
with
the power,
the
Holy Spirit
that
worked in you
the
same way as
works
in
us.
And that work,
you
have said,
we can do too.
Because you went to the Father
and
you released the
Holy
Spirit
to
work in us
and
bring about
the
changes in us
that
are needed
in
the way of looking at
things,
the way
we see,
the way
we
understand,
the
way we receive
everything
from you,
through
your power,
your
anointing,
your
abilities
developed
in us,
the
gifts
of
the Holy Spirit
training
us
to
be like you.
Thank
you, Lord.
In
Jesus' name,
amen
and amen.